Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order.
You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 26th day of June 2020, I'm going to talk a little bit about my sports fandom and why I'm leaning towards one team. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Google, Apple, Player FM, Podbean. We don't care. Listen to us anywhere, including on the website, which is LockedOnMLB.com. When you're at home during these trying times, and please, I'm begging you, please be smart. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, like Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen, or maybe check out Locked On Yankees with my friend Stacey Gotsoulias, where she's doing some really funny stuff. Her show's been on fire recently. I can recommend all of the Locked On podcast shows for baseball, but you know what? Stacey Gotts, she's always funny. She's bringing it for the last, you know, I listen to her all the time. It's been really, really good. Really, really funny stuff there, Stacey. Hey, I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to be plugging her show at this point, but I'm doing it. Do you know why? Because that's what I do. I'm your pal, Sully. If you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at LockedOnMLB_net. On Instagram, we're at LockedOnMLB. Your pal, Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Look, I'm not going to go into all the stuff. You know what I feel about starting this season. You know how it goes. But I'm not going to dwell on that right now. Let's talk about something positive. And I have brought this up in a previous podcast that I am a native New Englander. I have been a Red Sox fan my whole life. But my connection to the Red Sox, and certainly my connection to Boston sports fandom, is tenuous at best and almost non-existent at worst. I don't know what they've become. I've done a bunch of episodes on this particular topic, so I'm not going to dwell on it. Sorry, I'm stumbling a little bit there. And by the way, I want to apologize that there was no episode on Thursday. Guess what? Your pal Sully had to take care of a few things in life. But there's going to be one for Friday, and I'm going to drop an extra one on Saturday, so you get your five fresh new podcasts for this week. But as I stated on a previous podcast, I don't feel connected to Red Sox fandom anymore. I don't feel connected to Boston fandom anymore. I don't really feel connected to Boston anymore. I've only been there about, 7 or 8 days total in the last 15 years. And Boston sports fans are now those who expect a championship or bust. And not that there's anything wrong with that expectation. I mean, if you're in your mid-20s, using the rule of seven, all you've known is piling up titles. All you've known is the Patriots in it all the time, the Red Sox winning it left and right, the Celtics, the Bruins have won. So that's, if you're, you know, a little kid through a 25-year-old, that's what Boston sports fandom means. And there's nothing to change it. That's what it is. But I don't feel connected to that anymore. That's not what sports fans were when I was growing up. And so with the four titles, I've really given a lot of thought to picking out a new team. Now, on the one hand, I do think that if there is a season played here, and while I've been a real Debbie Downer and a pessimist, or as I like to call it, a realist about the prospects of a season being played this year, I want there to be a season played. I want there to be games. I'll watch them. Of course I'll watch them. I just don't think it's smart. But if the games are being played, I'm going to watch them. And the point of view that I have, and perhaps it's appropriate that I'm the host of this particular show, And that is, I'm going to just enjoy baseball as a whole. See where it falls, see where it lands. But there is something that attaching your emotion to one team does bring a lot of joy. Now, sometimes it's fun to attach your emotion to a team when you know your team stinks, but you're going to follow another team as well. I've had a couple of experiences like that over the years. The Giants have been a nice fallback team for me, and there have been a couple of years where I've fallen back on teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates a few times, the Mets in 2015, and the A's in 2014. But that being said, I realized something when I took a look at the hats that I've been wearing. Sounds like a strange thing to say, but I realized I have a couple of hats that are in rotation, heavy rotation for sitting on top of my head, and none of them are Boston. None of them are New England. And for those of you who say I have a Northeast bias, not one. Not one Northeastern hat is in heavy rotation on my head. Now, one of the hats on my head that I wear a lot is my Washington State hat. Go Cougs. I got my master's degree from Washington State University in communications. And I'm very proud of my master's degree. And I'm very proud to have earned it from a good college like Washington State University. And Washington State has a great logo. It's WSU, but that forms a cougar growling. Kind of like how the M and the B on the Milwaukee Brewers hat forms a baseball glove. I dig logos like that, where it's one thing made up of other things. It's kind of like Word World. Do you ever see that show, that kids show, where the animals in the backgrounds are made up of words that form, like, you know, barn is the barn they go to is a B-A-R-N. If anyone knows what I'm talking about Word World, is that what it is? Why am I talking about Word World? I wear my Washington State hat, Go Cougs. I also wear a Spokane Indians hat. My time going up to Pullman to earn my degree, Pullman is about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours away from Spokane. And I would go up to Spokane often, and I happen to love Spokane a lot. I think Spokane's a beautiful city. And I have my Spokane Indians hat. And I also have my Seattle Mariners hat, which I think is beautiful. And I have the Trident one. Now, not the original Trident. I've had that hat before, where it's the blue hat with the yellow Trident on. But in the 80s, the Trident was put inside of a star. And this is what you saw when Gaylord Perry won his 300th game. The rise of players like Mark Langston and Alvin Davis and Mike Moore and Harold Reynolds and Jim Presley when the Mariners had that hat. I love that hat. I think it's a beautiful hat. And it was a hard hat to find. But I wound up finding it at a place in Cooperstown, no less. And I ordered one. They sent one to California, and I wear that one a lot because I think it's a beautiful hat. And I'm starting to wonder, should I be a Mariners fan? Clearly, something is drawing me to the Pacific Northwest, and I love the Pacific Northwest. Am I going to be a Mariners fan? I have a couple of Mariners shirts. I have a couple of Mariners jerseys. Am I becoming a Mariners fan? Should I just let go of the talons that have been keeping me a New England fan? Should I leave the happiness and the joy and the euphoria of being a New England fan and bring myself to the Northwest to embrace the Mariners? May not be a bad idea. In fact, I even tested it out. Hey, let's talk Built Bars. Built Bars, that's the best tasting protein bar ever. I wouldn't lie about that because they are delicious. I've got a box of them in my fridge. I got me the German chocolate cake. I got me the chocolate raspberry. I've got me the mint brownie. And they are great tasting because if you've got something that's healthy and they taste great, you always lead off with the fact that they taste great. Because there's something healthy and tastes awful. It's like, oh man, well, you got to hold your nose and have it. Built Bars are great. They taste like a candy bar. They're covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, but they are healthy. And it's great for a health-conscious person if you're trying to lose or maintain weight. Take a look at this mint brownie. 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, only 4 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Huh? But if all that was true, but it tasted like garbage, what are we talking about? Built Bars, they taste great. So go try them. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, well, let me tell you something. I've not been using my car so much recently with everything going on, but do you know what? I still need to maintain it. I'm here in California. Cars are very important. I'm not a gearhead. And so when I got to take care of stuff with my car, me going to the store, me going to a retail place, it's not the best place for me. I get a little lost. I get a little confused. And also, the price tiers. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like myself. Do you know what you should do? You should go to rockauto.com. Their prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody. It doesn't require membership or any sort of login. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Whether it's for your classic daily driver or my Ford, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Look, part of the appeal of being a Red Sox fan over the years was it was a sense of identity. When I moved away from Boston or the suburbs of Boston in the mid-1980s, the intensity of my Red Sox fandom skyrocketed because I was no longer amongst New Englanders. I was amongst Northern Californians when I was in high school, and we moved to California. But before that, my family lived in Europe for a couple of years because of my father's job. He got transferred to Switzerland. We lived in Switzerland for a couple of years when I was a kid, and we happened to go all around Europe when I was in third and fourth grade, and I always had a Red Sox hat on my head, and I loved the Red Sox, and I was very proud of being a Red Sox fan, and it became accentuated when I went to California. It became accentuated when I moved to New York, and I was living in New York as a Red Sox fan. And when I moved back to California, still proud Red Sox fan, but the connection was always to the team after a while, because initially it was, I'm from Boston. That's my home. That's where I was reared. And before the Red Sox became kind of a big national team, when you saw someone with a Sox hat, it was almost like a secret handshake. Say, oh, you're a Red Sox fan. Where are you from? I'm from Hartford, or I'm from Bangor, Maine. Oh, really? I grew up in Weston, Massachusetts. Oh, no kidding. And then turned to, oh, you're a Red Sox fan. Where are you from? Oh, I just like the Red Sox. I'm from Tucson. And it became less about your identity as a New England fan. Well, I'm starting to feel a pull towards the Northwest. I happen to love the Northwest. I spent an entire summer in outside of Portland in Hillsboro, Oregon, working on a TV show. And every weekend I would go up to Portland, which was only a few minutes away by train. And I fell in love with Oregon. I had already had a wonderful experience in Oregon because I went to many of my short films were played in film festivals, including one. There was one in Portland, and there was one in a couple of them. And I won a bunch of awards at film festival in Corvallis on the campus of Oregon State University. I loved Oregon State. Obviously, I went to Washington State, spent a lot of time in Spokane, been to Walla Walla, been to a bunch of places in Oregon and Washington. Oddly, one of the places I've never been to is Seattle. Never stepped foot in Seattle. And yet, the Mariners are drawing me to them. And it's not the first time I've been drawn to the Mariners. I've had a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for the Mariners even in the mid-80s, when they weren't very good, I felt they were on the verge of being good. When I took a look at their infielders, Alvin Davis, he's a good player. Harold Reynolds, he's a good player. Ray Quiñones, he's a decent shortstop with power. Jim Presley, he's a good player. Phil Bradley's a good player. My goodness, when you're starting to build up eventually, they had Ken Phelps, who was a good power hitter, good enough to eventually fetch him Jay Buhner. And then the West was winnable, and they had Dick Williams as their manager. I started to think, wow, what if the Mariners put it together? And I really, really wanted to see it happen. I really did. And I felt like they could. And do you know what? They really could if this one thing happened. This one thing prevented the Mariners from being a good team in the 80s. They had Mike Moore. Mike Moore was a talented pitcher. They had Mark Langston. He also was a talented pitcher. They never had a really good season at the same time. Langston would be really good, but Moore would stink. Moore would be really good, but Langston would stink. If they had coincided their good years, I do believe that the Mariners would have contended when the AL West was weak, especially in 87. Then I saw Ken Griffey Jr. play in 1988 as a member of the San Bernardino Spirit. Went to see him as a minor leaguer. And he was spectacular as a minor leaguer. And he became one of my favorite players of all time. And the team that they assembled with Edgar Martinez, with Randy Johnson, who they got in the Mark Langston trade, with Griffey, with Buhner, with Lou Piniella managing, I really, really loved that team. Now, everyone remembers the 1995 team, the one that saved the Mariners franchise because they were going to move. But the Mariners had the great comeback against the Angels, great comeback against the Yankees. They got to Game 6 of the ALCS. And do you know what? If a ball here or there dropped in one of those games in Cleveland, the Mariners would have been in a much better situation. But do you know what? It didn't happen. In fact, the team in 97 was the team that I thought was going to go far because they had A-Rod, who would become an MVP candidate, to go along with Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr. and Jay Buhner and Randy Johnson. And they had the combination of Randy Johnson and Jamie Moyer in their starting rotation. And unfortunately, they lost to Baltimore in the division series, and no one remembers that team. I do. And, of course, the idea of going to the one team, the only team in baseball to have never won a pennant. The only franchise in Major League Baseball to never see a World Series is Seattle, the Mariners. And I can say it like that because in the past I'd have to say, well, the city of Washington's hosted a World Series, not the Washington Nationals. No, the Nationals have and they've won a World Series. Only one franchise has never won the pennant. And that would be the Seattle Mariners. They're the team that's drawing me to them. And do you know what? I test drove this fandom. I wore my Mariner hat the other day with my mask as I went to pick some stuff up at the store. And I was also wearing a Mariners shirt. And when I wore my Mariners hat, my Mariners shirt, and bought something at the grocery store, some guy was there and said, "Hey, Mariners!" And I nodded at him. And he said, "I grew up in Washington." I said, "No kidding." And I said, "Who is your favorite player?" And he said, "Junior." And I said, "Oh, I remember the teams before Junior. I remember," and I rattled off Jim Presley and Phil Bradley and Mike Moore and Mark Langston. And the guy looked and said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And I was saying, "Oh," and they had Danny Tartable and said, "Oh, man," and they just didn't all click together. And then we talked a little bit about 95, we talked about 97, we talked about how close they got in 2000, how close they got in 2001, how Ichiro was so great, how they wished Felix Hernandez made the postseason, that all these great players like Johnson and Edgar, and who had the majority of their prime as a Seattle Mariner, they couldn't quite get it together. Oh, but how great was Edgar's hit? And I said, you know what? Edgar's hit that scored Griffey, but it was set up by a bunt by Joey Cora. The guy said, that's right. That's right. And he said to me, who's your favorite non-Griffey Mariner? And I said, well, you know, I have a thing for Ichiro, but I love Alvin Davis, Mr. Mariner. And he said, yeah. And he said, are you from there? And I said, I got my master's degree from Pullman. Go Cougs. Go Cougs. And he nodded at me, and he said, it's good to meet a real Mariners fan. And he walked away. Now, I happen to have the type of baseball memory of history that I can be a Leonard Zelig and adapt to certain fandoms. You know, when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008, I was also at a grocery store in Los Angeles. And I saw an old-timer, someone about my dad's age, who was wearing a Phillies cap. And I nodded him and said, you must be happy. And he started talking to me about the 1950s Whiz Kids that won the pennant and got swept by the Yankees in the World Series in 1950. But the Phillies team came out of nowhere to win the pennant. And he started to say a few things about him, but one of the things he said was incorrect. He had conflated the 1950 team to the 1964 team that narrowly missed winning the pennant. I said, no, he wasn't on the 50 team, he was on the 64 team. And this guy who was about my dad's age nodded. He said, that's right. And he kind of looked at me and he said, I can tell you're a real Phillies fan. And he walked away. I'm not. I'm just an idiot who knows this sort of stuff. But the guy at the Trader Joe's in Pasadena who said that to me as I was bringing my stuff with my, you know, hazmat suit and my mask on and everything. He just only saw my eyes. I looked like Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat with my Mariners hat and Mariners jersey on. And he said, you're a real Mariners fan. And I nod and I say, yeah, I guess I am. I guess I am. So we'll see. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe that's what I should embrace. So go to the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. Like us wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying safe at home these days, make sure to tell your smart device, to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. This has been Locked On MLB for the 26th day of June, 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.